In the fall each year we all congregate, the Baptists all gathered at the church of tailgate. The scriptures reading from the book of Munson, our favorite verse, my God, a freshman. Drunk and obnoxious, what Georgia fame, ain't nothing finer in the land. Now the 3,000 of our best friends, it's Saturday and that thing.
What's up, brother?
Seth, what's going on?
How you doing?
Fantastic. It's been a hectic evening so far.
Yeah, man, I hear you. So I see you got some new gear in. What's going on with that?
Yeah, man, all these polos and some pullovers came in today.
That's what I was gonna ask you about those pullovers. Are they quarter zips or they got the hoods on them?
No, these are quarter zips. I ordered a few of these to try and see how they turned out with this new brand, Baldhead Blues.
Yeah, that's sick.
They're nice, and I had had to do the red and black.
Oh yeah, I already got that one. That's gonna have to go in the cart.
Already.
That's fresh, man.
I had some chicken parm, homemade. Almost burned my house down doing it, but.
Hey, that's a good start to a Thursday night. Well, you got any cocktails on tap there?
Yeah. So I'm, I got the cup.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna. I got the dirty girl with me, so.
Love it.
I'm going to do that, and I'm going to show you a hack on top of the canned transfusion hack.
Yep.
Into the new glass.
Oh, I like this.
I hope I don't spill it everywhere.
I dig this.
Had it in the freezer for a little bit. We're good to go.
I like it. We got that Masters Green, too, looking fresh.
That's it.
Hold on. I want you to pull something else out. You had that white lid with the silver logo on it on Friday. Pull that out. I want to see that up close again.
Oh
yeah. That thing is, I'm just going to tell you, the website don't even do that justice, homie.
I'm telling you.
That thing is fresh.
The pictures ain't no good.
Yeah. That thing is, we walked up after we talked to y'all, we drove off and I told my brother, I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to get that hat.
We'll hook it up.
That thing is right. Well, hey man, I appreciate you hanging out with us. I wanted you to come on because we had kind of a parallel weekend last weekend, and I just wanted to rip about it. So for everybody that doesn't know, Top Golf at Sanford's been going on, which has been an incredible thing. Zach and I were both in Athens last weekend to attend. You and your buddies went Friday, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Juggle in the morning?
It was like 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Okay.
Real hot, but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. And then so I was in town with my wife, my brother, and my sister. It was my sister's birthday. And so we golfed on Friday, and we did Top Golf on Saturday. So we went out to the Chimneys in Winder to golf. And what did I do? I posted something on Instagram with y'all's tees and your hat and everything. And you, messaged me. You're like, dude, we're here.
Yeah. Literally finished, our little thing at Sanford.
Yeah.
Out to the Chimneys. That was the only place we could find to play because the UGA course was shut down Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
We just ended up there, teed off at 3:30, and I saw that. And I was like, no way. We're literally teeing off on the first hole.
Yeah. We were same boat. We tried to get on the UGA course, and we booked it a month ago. It's on their online feature. And I got an email from them saying, hey, look, sorry, we didn't have the tee sheets out yet. We got a tournament this weekend. We're going to be shut down. I was like, oh, man, it's such a bummer. So then, dude, I called Jennings Mill, and they've gone totally private.
I did the same thing. Someone told me, they were like, hey, you can call up there and get a tee time, which I've heard from many people, and they're like, nah, man.
Yep. Based on what the guy told me on the phone, I think that's pretty recent. I think you could get tee times because, dude, I saw it on Golf Now.
I think there were still, a few, maybe, as a
– Yeah. So had y'all played Chimneys before?
We played it in a tournament in high school a few times back in the old high school golf days. So I hadn't played it, but it's a lot of fun. I forgot how fun it is. It's a good course.
Dude, a lot of fun. If you're a recreational golfer, me and my family are, it's a ton of fun because especially on the back, I feel like you could just tee it high and let it fly and maybe get one on the green if you catch one. So it's awesome.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun.
How'd you guys swing it?
We played pretty good. The front nine was a little tough. First five holes are kind of brutal. They're, you know, tight off the tee, a little
tight,
challenging. Got to hit some shots. But back nine, like you said, was fun. There's like three par fours where we all drove the green, so we had a good time on the back nine.
Yeah, same as us. Same as us. And I thought what was cool about that course too is a lot of elevation changes, so a lot of good eye lines.
Yeah.
I thought, and I mean, I think all the rocks, the way they've situated everything there too, it's just, man, it's a nice course, especially too, if you play a twilight there or you play after two, I mean, it's stealing. Like,
yeah. No, that's probably the best value. I mean, it was like $30, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, hell, even for like $50, that's about as good as it gets.
Oh yeah, man. It was great. So yeah. Tell me this. Y'all had 11 o'clock Topgolf.
Eight. Bay eight.
Eight, dude. We were in eight. Yeah, that's the same we were.
Yeah.
So tell me this. What how many of y'all was it the same two buddies you had at Chimneys, or did you guys have a full bay?
Yeah, so it was three of us. Like when I bought tickets after I actually did the podcast with you, which inspired me to get tickets. I was like, I gotta do it. But by the time I went to buy tickets, you couldn't get like a whole bay. So yeah. I bought as many tickets as I could together, which was three. Which that was the only pitfall of the whole thing, which it made sense why they had to do that. But now the guys we got paired up with, they were pretty cool about it. We all just rotated and we had a good time.
That's cool. Yeah, we were the same. There was only four of us, and same thing. We couldn't get a full bay. So we had two guys, two brothers that ended up playing with us. It was awesome. I mean, they were great. UGA grads. I mean, they were a lot of fun, and it was cool, man. So I want to ask you this, because you probably had a little bit different experience than us, because y'all had totally clear weather. See, it rained on us.
Mm.
So, like, not bad. I mean, it wasn't like it made it unenjoyable or anything. But
Saturday?
Yeah, we went Saturday. We had a 4:50 tee time. That's the latest one I could get, because I tried to get something at night, but because I wanted to see the lights and everything going on, but just didn't work out. So, and so for me, had you done Topgolf before?
Yeah, we have one here. We just got one here about a year ago, like a mini version.
And it's right off the interstate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How far is that from Augusta National? It's not far, is it?
Yeah, 5-10 minutes, depending.
I was gonna say, because I thought it was the same exit, because we were driving by and I told my sister, I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the exit for Augusta National.
Yeah, it's like right before North Augusta, before we cross the river.
Yeah. So I had
Bueller.
Here, brother. Yeah. So yeah, we had nobody in our group had done, well, I guess my brother had done it at like regular Topgolf, but that's like a different experience because you got the concrete and like it's a whole new thing, right? So at Sanford, I was wondering how they kind of fixed it up, because I felt like from a distance perspective, you got a lot of give. I felt like I didn't feel like you had to hit it right on the money to get where you were going, but it was fun, man. Did I see on your story or on your Instagram post that you had hit five straight times one round?
Yeah, that was cool. I was at first I was trying to get it, you know, through the uprights on the other end with the 9-iron, and I was like coming up like right, like just short in the end zone. So I was like, all right, I'm just gonna try and put five on the middle of the G.
Yeah.
I mean it was like you said, you didn't really have to hit it like directly on the G.
No.
Hey, I got the points.
Which
that was the coolest thing for me, is like I never would have thought in a million years that, you know, I'd hit a golf ball in Sanford Stadium.
That was the same, man. Like we walked up, because, you know, did y'all like go up the elevator to then get in like onto the concourse level, or did y'all come up the steps, or like how did y'all enter?
Steps, and then went in the recruit lounge for a little bit and then headed on up top.
Yeah, so like we walked out and I was like, this is cooler than I thought it was going to be, because I just didn't know how they were going to set it up. I didn't know they were going to like build the scaffolding and have the platforms and stuff,
right?
Man, I thought it was cool. I thought they did a nice job. Did y'all like go early and play cornhole or do the simulator or anything like that?
I mean, we got there like 15 minutes early and just kind of took it all in, watched all the other people, got a few beers, which is cool to buy a beer in Sanford Stadium.
That was
first time for me. But yeah, I mean, we ended up, I saw a few buddies that I had from Augusta were there that I didn't even know were going to be there. Just happened to be there at the same time. So it was cool. We all hung out, and as soon as we finished, like 2:20, 2:30, we had to book it over to the Chimneys.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's not a short trip either. It was a solid half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick.
That's So let me ask you this, because this is just thinking out loud, because we talked about this. Are there any things you would have done differently if you were running the event? Like, any things you would have changed?
I don't know. I don't think there was really a way to do it differently. I mean, obviously going in, you know, I knew there wasn't going to be like drivers or anything. There's no way
right.
to put up the netting or anything. More for like the fanfare and like you're in the environment, you know, doing something that you've never done in that environment. But I mean, yeah, like I said, the only downfall with it with me was the, you know, just getting paired up randomly with a few people, which yeah. Bad, and there's no other, like, you couldn't just reserve a bay for two people. I mean, they would not have enough, I guess, bays or tickets. So they had to get everybody in, but it was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Like, even if it was, I don't even know if it was like 10 or 15 golf balls we hit over the course of the hour, you know, rotating all six of us. But hey, it was 15 shots I never thought I'd get to hit in a football stadium, much less Sanford.
Yeah, so here's my things, and these are nitpicky, but I'm going to throw them at you, and you tell me what you think, okay? My first one was, and this is the other thing. I have no idea how much jurisdiction UJ Athletics had versus how much Topgolf Live tells them, like, hey, look, you give us the permission, but, like, we run the show. Like, we do the event, right? But a couple things I would have done differently, and it didn't change my experience. We had an awesome time. Like, the whole time, we just kept looking at each other going, I can't believe we're here right now. Like, this is ridiculous. This is awesome. So, like, that was cool. One thing I would have done different to start, dude, I would have painted Sanford like it was a game day. Like.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Like, I would have
effort to, like, turn the G.
Yeah.
Or at least every other day, like, with a fresh coat of paint up the sidelines.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the off season. I get it. But, I mean, you got
to. So, like.
Yeah.
I think a couple things I would have done was I would have had the regular G at midfield, right? Just painted like it would be for a game day. And then I think I would have had at least the far end zone, because, like, sight line wise, that's what we were seeing, was the far end zone. Dude, I would have had it painted for the weekend, like, yeah, whether it said Georgia or Bulldogs. And I'm going to tell you what I would have had on both sides, like on the sidelines. Dude, I would have had the Georgia Golf logo, the G with the cross drivers in it. That is a sick logo.
Yeah.
Like, I would have rolled that out. And then, so that was one thing. And again, that didn't change my experience at all. That was just one thought. The other thing was, I thought it would have been really, really cool if when you came up for your tee time, like when they reset each 70 minutes or whatever it was, while they were doing the kind of, okay, the folks go in, they clear out the area so you can go in. For that little 5-minute interlude, dude, I would have had, just like pregame, I would have had Larry Munson doing battle him. Like,
that's what Tyler said.
That was my first thought. I told my brother, I go, you know what? That's like a little thing, but that would have been epic.
Like, Bob O'Reilly, the Who. That would have been crazy. Just, yep. Game, you know, a little normality of the pregame, like a football game. It would have been cool. That would have been
cool. Yeah. And then my last thing was, I was just a little surprised, and I think this would hit you too, because it's your business. Dude, they had no merch. Like, I thought they would have event-branded merch there.
Yeah, they had, like, we got there, it was just, you know, just like a few things that you'd find in the bookstore.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I was kind of expecting maybe, like, you know, I teed it up between the hedges, or, you know, just some kind of play on the event or whatever it may be. And, again, none of the things I have listed changed how incredible of a time I had. I'm just saying there were thoughts I had, that's all.
Right.
So. So you talked about walking through the recruiting lounge to get up there. I thought that was a cool thing, that, like, if you had to use the bathroom, that's where you had to go, was the recruiting lounge. So in turn, you kind of got a tour in some ways. So right. that was awesome. Had you been down there before?
No, that's the farthest I've been in, was you go down the little hallway with the commit to the G.
Yeah.
It opens all up. And I was like, whoa. I mean, just from that, going in from the front door was just super impressive. I could have. Yeah. Getting in and then walking out on the little pavilion into the stadium, that'd be crazy. Which I know they did the tour, like the special tickets for some people, where you got to go in the locker room and do all that, which it would have been cool, but I don't know.
Yeah, we talked about doing it. We were like, you know, like, we're going to just kind of, I guess, use the allocated funds for that for, like, the rest of the weekend type thing. Yeah. And I mean, we still had a great time. And like, in all honesty, it's like my brother and I talked about it. It was good enough for us just to go in the recruiting lounge. And one thing we did say was we walked in and was like, could you imagine like you're a high school junior and they roll you in here? Like, I don't know. It'd be hard to say no. And that's like not even the full facility. Like, that's not even talking like the new facility or House of Pain or like any of that stuff. I mean, it was cool, really cool.
Yeah.
So
Which, speaking from a Georgia fan's perspective, is definitely more like awe-inspiring walking in there versus, but I mean, if you grew up like playing like in Georgia playing high school football and like you're a Georgia fan growing up, I could only imagine like you're getting recruited to play there. I wouldn't even have to show up. I'd have been like Isaiah McKenzie. I'd just be like, oh yeah, I'm in. I'm in.
yeah, I'm the same. I wouldn't even have to look. I'd just be like, y'all just tell me where to sign. I'm just gonna make that happen. So, yeah, I thought that was cool. I would be interested to know, did you have any buddies that did the Bulldog experience that got the tour and all that stuff? See how that was?
On my Instagram feed, but
Yeah.
didn't hear any personal stories.
Yeah, same with us. I haven't heard any like one-on-ones about kind of what that was like or what that experience was. They told us when we were there that they were doing a tour at 7 because they came around and said, hey, would anybody like to upgrade and do the tour and everything? Because my understanding is it included food and booze too. And I did see some pictures that looked like the food was very Augusta themed.
Yeah, I didn't see the pictures of the food. Were
It was it.
these
It
are
looked like bags of chips and pimento cheese sandwiches and yeah, which that's cool. I like that. Well, so what did you guys mostly hit? Did y'all just stay short like pitch and wedge sandwich, or did y'all hit the nines and try to go deep for the back ones, or like how'd y'all play it?
Pretty much like after the first round, I just, you know, like I said, I was just blasting 9 irons trying to see if I could get it through the field. And you know, then the target. Then I dedicated like 2 rounds just trying to hit the G, and then
Yeah.
or the second round. But by the third round, it was like, all right, let's get a little competitive and let's try and get some points. But yeah, we pretty much just hit like little pitch shots to the G. We went for the back pins a few times, but like you said, like you could. It was so weird how you would land one like way away from one of the targets, and it was like plus 100 points.
Yeah.
Hey, it was still cool. I liked it.
So I only hit a bullseye one time the whole night. I hit that back left in the back end zone. I hit a 9 iron and stuck it right in the middle.
Oh
And
yeah.
it was like 50 points. I looked at my sister and I'm like, what the hell is this?
Oh, the G, the little chip shot of the G is 100 every time.
Every time. Yeah. I was like you, we switched kind of after the first couple rounds when you like figure out the score and you just go, okay, look, we're just going to try to accumulate as many points as possible. So let's just hammer the G here and see how many we can get. But so I didn't expect that. I didn't even think about that. So that was really cool. That's something I probably wouldn't have thought about, which seems like the most obvious thing to think about to make that a target. But I love that. I would be curious to know how they set all that up. Like, how do they know all that? Like, I guess they just do it off ball speed coming out of the chute, and then they just kind of figure it out based on the sensors they've set up around the field or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't fully understand the technology behind Topgolf, but I mean, they got it figured out for the most part. It's pretty cool. And then like especially to be on the road and just set up like that. I mean, because they're doing all these stadiums, so everywhere's different, but to get it even close enough like that is still pretty cool.
I wonder if they'll do that more regularly. Like, I know they've done the Major League Baseball Stadium Series because I've had friends and family that have done those, and they like tee off from one of the elevated outfield spots or something, and they said that was a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
But I would imagine it's a big undertaking for Topgolf Live to plan the logistics of that and figure all that stuff out. Because what are they going till Friday or through the weekend? It's like 10 days they're in Athens, aren't they?
Days, and then they're just like they're road tripping. Like I know somebody commented and said they did it in Charlotte, like at the Panther Stadium.
Oh, that's cool.
You go look at the schedule, and they've got like all these other places lined up for the rest of the, I guess, until sports start back up.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I thought it was great, and I think it's like just so typical of what we're going to continue to see from Josh Brooks. Like, I think he wants to involve Georgia fans as much as possible. Because, I mean, that's what it felt like to me. I was like, this is cool. Like, this is a way the university is trying to involve us as fans and give us an experience that, like you said, I never would have imagined hitting golf balls onto Dooley Field.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. And like I said, I mean, it rained on us, and it I didn't care. It was awesome. I mean,
Yeah.
we didn't have lightning or anything. And from the videos I saw of the people that were there at night, it was sick because it was like fourth quarter, so it was cool.
Yeah, all they had on was the big red light. They didn't have the stadium lights, it was just the red lights.
Yeah, I thought that was sick, man. They did a nice job with it. It was cool. And like to your point, it was cool going in there and being able to buy like a couple Terrapin beers or a couple Creature Comfort beers or like everything they had on tap. That was wild. You think they'll eventually do that? Do booze there?
I think they've got to. I mean, definitely. I mean, they've already, they did it for the Mackerel Society, like already kind of opening up to them, just the big donors. But I mean, it'll spread, especially, which I don't know if the Clemson game. I mean, I guess it will be at Bank of America. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I think they'll have booze because, well, I say that. We thought we went to the SEC Championship game in 18 and we thought they were going to sell booze because it was at NFL Stadium, right? But then we found out when we got there that because that is an SEC sanctioned event, no booze. So there were like, this is what we learned, veteran move for neutral site game at the Benz, and it may not be this way anymore, but. That year, the guy told us, he goes, well, you know what they do is they have private parties within the stadium. So, like a restaurant would have a private party that you could buy a $30 ticket to, and then you go in there and drink. So, I guess that's how they were skirting the SEC conference rules. But yeah, that's a good question. I haven't thought about that because I guess technically it's run by a third party organization because Charlotte Sports Foundation puts on the event in partnership with Duke's. So I feel like they'll probably have the ability to sell beer. I mean, we drank when we went to Vanderbilt. They were selling beer at Vanderbilt Stadium.
Yeah, they were. They were.
Yeah. So, and it's the same way like at the cocktail party. We had beers at the cocktail party this year.
I think
So,
what was it, 2019 or 2020? They did like a vote where the SEC like left it up to the individual,
the
like.
individual schools. Yeah. Yeah, because Georgia keeps seeming to punt on it. And man, I think there's so much synergy, right? Like there's so many good breweries in Athens. And I would just do it with a partnership with the local breweries. Like, hey, we're going to set up spots at these places or do a beer garden or something where you integrate it. So I don't know. I feel like that's an easier sell maybe too. Because I think the rub is like, I don't think our friend groups are going to have any problem with booze being there. I think it's more of probably the older donor base is like we don't necessarily want booze in the stadium.
I mean, I think people want to like drink booze at a football game. Like the people that want to do it are going to find a way. Like speaking from like sitting in the student section for 3 years, like and it'd probably be more safe and less dangerous if they just sold it at the stadium, which I mean students would still do it anyways, but I mean, at least for like fans that are not like, 30 or 40-year-old fans, they're not, most of them aren't sneaking in, bottles of booze, but I might be on it. What do I know?
Well, that's a great point because I was going to say every time I sat in the student section, there was never any, let's say never, it was never lacking for booze options. If you wanted to have a hopped up Coke, that was a possibility.
Spot for it.
Yeah, so one of the cool things we did before was we were doing the simulator because they had that in the back and it was like a 100-yard hole, and that was cool too. And one of the guys we were in there with, obviously, was probably a donor, but he was like, "Yeah, I've got one of these in my basement," and he's like, "I've got it loaded with all the different courses and stuff." I'm like, "Oh man, that's fantastic! I don't think I'd ever leave my house."
Yeah, you can't beat that. Definitely makes rainy days a little better. We got that going on.
Yeah, so I'll staying on the golf topic, tell me about the Collective Club. What's going on with that? How many times a week are you guys playing?
So this is like the trial year, which I kind of knew. We got a whole like there's an online software I found like Track the League, so I knew there would be a few kinks to work out with that. And then it was honestly surprising that we got 36 guys, 36 members this year. Which was a little surprised that we even got that many. Because I'm just, the dues were like $30. You get like a bag tag, and then it pays for all the trophy, whatever we do at the end for prizes. So I mean, I don't know, it was pretty cool. Discount code, like early release stuff, like first dibs on these. So it was cool. We got it going back in February, and I kind of came up with the format just to do like a Stableford, which is like a point system, you know, so you get points for birdies, pars, bogeys, and then handicap to an extent. So it's been going well. We got two more weeks of that, and then we go into our playoffs, which is going to be like a match play, like Final Four or a March Madness bracket. So that's what we got going with that. And I've just along the season of doing it, I've had so many people message me like, what is this? What's, you know, what's the deal with it? How do I get in? I want to join.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break after we finish the championship, which should end like end of August, early September. And then we're going to do like a little fall season. Haven't decided what yet. Give a chance for more people to join. Kind of step back and punt and figure out exactly what we want to do for the next full season next year. But right now, I mean, I'd like to double it and keep it growing, which the next thing, I guess, maybe after next season would be how to figure out how to get it, like, you know, in Isle of Palms and Atlanta, whatever. But it's just a fun way to meet new people, go play courses that you don't play all the time. It keeps it a little competitive, gives you something to play for. And a lot of the guys, you know, from week one to now are, like, super into it and, like, getting better. So it's pretty cool. Everyone's playing better golf.
Yeah, so that was my next question. Do you guys have, like, a home course, or do you guys rotate each week? Like, how does that work?
We rotate. So everyone has, you know, obviously their own place where they play, but, you know, we do a two-week period because I know it's hard, you know, between guys in school, guys work and whatever. So we do a two-week period where, like, look, you got 2 weeks to get with two or three other guys in the group and go play at this course. And then the next 2 weeks, different course. So we've rotated all around the courses in, like, the Augusta area so far. And then match play, we got to figure out match play, what we're going to do for that. We're still kind of, you know, first season, we're still kind of figuring out as we go. But it's been a lot of fun. Like, I've met a lot of new guys that I've never played golf with before, and we talk a lot. We got a whole group chat now where I'll just kind of shoot the shit and just kind of, you know, just roast each other, talk about golf.
That's cool. Yeah, that's real cool. That's an interesting idea about, like, branching it off and doing different towns because, you know, the world we live in now, that's doable. I mean, you could figure that out for sure. And, man, talk about, like, building a community if you had guys going out and rolling and doing that each week, you know?
I don't know if you're familiar with Random Golf Club, but, like, I don't know. Like, looking back, it's almost kind of like what he's done where he's got his Random Golf Club. Eric Anders Lang's got his brand. And then he's got all these, like, sub-brands in these cities, like Random Golf Club Atlanta or Detroit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It would be cool to have, like, Collective Club Augusta and then get, like, a few guys, like, a few ambassadors be, like, Collective Club Charleston, Collective Club Atlanta. And just kind of, like, network, and then maybe at the end of the year we do, like, a whole trip, like, championship or something at, like, I don't know, Pinehurst. I mean, this is years.
Oh, yeah. No way, man. Grow it. This is a good idea. See, we're workshopping this right now. Yeah. This is good. No, dude, I like that, man. There's a lot of good options down here too, just because I feel like there's a lot of good muni options, but then there's also some, you know, some cooler places you can play too where it's more challenging. Like, man, we, my sister and I played out. Well, you played when you were down here. You played with your buddies. So look, that's what I want to talk to you about. You guys played Wild Dunes.
Mm-hmm.
You played the Harbor course.
Lynx course.
Oh, you played the Lynx. So you played the one out by the ocean.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we played the Harbor course. My sister's played both. I haven't played Lynx yet. But, dude, the Harbor course, I mean, you might as well just leave the driver in the car. Like,
the starter was telling us. We were looking down the first tee on the Lynx course, and we're like, does it open up? Like, is this the tighter course? And he was like, no, this is the open one. The Harbor course is the real deal. And we're like, oof. Good thing we're there.
Like, it was insane. I told my sister, too, I'm all for being punished by the golf course if you hit, like, a bad golf shot. But, like, we were hitting some drives, and I'd look at her and go, like, there's no way I should be able to find this golf ball. Like, that was not a poorly hit ball. It's just so thin, man. You just really have to manage the golf course. Like, you have to play your bag, which that part of it I do like because that's rare, right? Like, I wouldn't say you play your bag at the Chimneys. But I don't know. I dug that. And I mean, dude, the cool part too is that Harbor course, there's a couple sick holes. Like 16 is a par three, and the tee box sits on one side of the intercoastal. And so you hit your tee shot over the intercoastal into the green. And like, dude, there are boats like crisscrossing back and forth the whole time. So me and my sister are standing there, and there's these two boats coming, and they're kind of like looking, and she's like, "No chance I'm taking this shot right now." She's like, "They are both in play."
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's cool. And y'all play Patriots too, right?
We did. We had a good old there.
What'd you think of that?
It was, I mean, the shape, condition was all right. I mean, it was just like a Muni, but the layout was real fun. Like, we had a good, we had a rough night the night before, or at least I did. I had a real bad night. We'll leave it at that. But now we got there, and it was, I don't know. I just started playing some good golf, and then the back nine's really cool. The last, like, four holes, real good.
How sweet is 17 when you come up and kind of, you got that island green sitting up essentially in the harbor?
Straight into the wind too. That was brutal.
I missed yeah.
the turtle shell. And like if you miss the green, your ball's probably gone. That's all it
yeah.
is.
Yeah, man, that's a cool one. Then you come up 18 and you got the whole harbor down the left side. Like, I mean, that's it's a cool spot. And for that to be a mini, like, dude, that's the first tee location for Charleston. Like, if you play junior leagues for first tee, that's where you play, is at a Patriots Point.
Yeah, that's no, I loved it. It was real cool too, because, you know, like you said, right on the harbor, I got a shot of some of the guys with huge cargo ship going by, like right as we're playing. It's just a real cool setting to have. And then the bridge you see on most of the holes.
Yeah. Have you played? There is a course directly across the river from downtown Savannah, and I think that's called the Harbor Course
yeah.
in Savannah. It reminds me in some ways of Patriots just because of the views back. Obviously, they have very similar suspension bridges, and you get great water views and stuff, and both fun courses, like not super tight, so you can kind of get a little wiggly off the tee if you need to. So, yeah, man, I love that course. It's like you said, I feel like condition-wise, because of the courses people play down here, they're like, oh, Patriots. I'm like, man, get over yourself. Like, it's a fun course. Like, I don't know.
Had a good time.
Yeah. Well, so how was Lynx? I haven't played that. How many holes are on the ocean out there?
So I mean, the front nine was okay. Like, it felt, I mean, there was a few good holes on the front, and then you get to the back and you started to get a little more wild. I mean, there was one, I forget what hole, it was like maybe 12 or 13, where the tee box, we played from the back tees, and then the chute to get to the fairway, I think it was tighter than 18 at Augusta. It was literally like 10 or 15 yards wide for about 100 yards. But then you get to, I think it was 15. It's like a par three across the marsh. And then you play 16, 17, and 18 is all along the ocean. Which 16.
Oh, that's cool.
16, or maybe it was 17. 17 is the par four that runs the whole length of it. It's just right next to the ocean. And it's
yeah,
a good hole. Real good.
So, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but that week y'all kind of – paired a trip up with going to the PGA. Y'all went one day, right?
Yeah, so we played golf all weekend and then went to the practice round Monday.
Had you been to that course before?
Never been. Never been, honestly, to that whole area. I've only been to Charleston like one time.
What'd you think of the ocean course?
It was awesome. You know, I thought as a fan, like as a patron, it wasn't the best course for a fan, but I would.
Correct.
Love to go play that golf course, which we did play Osprey Point, which was, I mean, it had to be in as good shape as the ocean course. I mean, it was phenomenal.
So, dude, I'm glad you bring that up, because a couple things about this. Number one, one of the things I remarked to my dad when we were riding in on the bus on Saturday was every course in here looks like they could play a major on it right now. Like,
yeah.
It just, everything looked immaculate the whole ride through. But, man, to your point about the patrons, could you imagine if it was full go?
Ooh, it would have been a nightmare.
Nightmare. That's what my dad and I talked about. Like, it would have been so congested just because there's nowhere to go, right?
Yeah. Well, it's way out, and then it's just – I mean, it's the ocean course. It's literally every hole is on the ocean.
Yeah.
So, go so far. And then the other thing, too, is because, the you know, it's on the ocean, all the cart paths and walking trails – or like cut down into the dunes. So like by the time you're walking alongside the hole, you can't really see much.
Yep.
So you really had to pick out strategically on each hole, like, where am I going to watch this shot from? Like, I've got to get level with the course.
Yeah. So we ended up spending the majority of our time on the back. Just cause, man, if I was picking halves of that course, I love the back. I mean, the back is the ocean course, right? Like, that's the one where you're on the beach mostly. And then I thought, you know, the first part of the back that's on the marsh side, just had a lot of challenging holes for them. Like, you'd go, well, don't miss right. Like, there's literally nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So we spent a lot of time on the dunes at 14, that par three with that big turtleback green, watching that because you could see everything. So that was a cool little spot. We spent some time on the dunes midway on 16 to watch that big mammoth par five that they were scoring on.
Yeah,
because the wind was down. And then we spent the last half of the day planted at 17 and watched every back group come in through 17. So, like, that was fun. We saw Bryson hit it in the water that day after he had made, like, a little surge.
Love that.
Yeah, so that was great. And then saw Phil absolutely throw a dart and then just barely missed the putt on 17 on Saturday. So that was cool. But yeah, I'm with you, man. I would love to go play that after being there, because I will say this too, and I'll tell me how you feel about this, but after walking it and then watching it on the TV, I actually thought it presented better on TV, because just as a spectator, you can't get all of the vantage points.
Yeah.
And dude, some of those sight lines out of those tee boxes were incredible. I mean, so let me tell you about this, because you'll be interested in this. They have a package there, at least for 2021. It's called the Ryder Cup package. So if you go down there with, you just take 11 of your buddies, so 12 of you. It's a flat rate for each person. It includes three rounds, and it includes lodging and I think breakfast every day. And then either a welcome party or like a send-off party. And they split you up into teams, and they give you Kiowa hats, one in blue and one in white for your teams. And then you like play your three rounds like Ryder Cup style, like with the accommodations. And then one of the included three rounds is the ocean course.
Wow. Yeah.
And dude, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be when I like clicked on the thing. Like, it's a doable thing if you have buddies that are into golf. Like,
right. What is it per person?
Say what?
What was it? Like, what was the rate per person? You know,
I thought it was like $11.25 per person.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
I mean, think about that.
Ocean course alone is like 500 now, isn't it?
$500.
Yeah.
And you're getting three nights lodging.
Yeah.
I mean, I was texting my buddies, but I was like, dude, this seems like a really good deal. Like, this would be awesome.
Definitely, I would totally do that.
But yeah.
I don't know if, like, that was my first time there, but I don't know if those courses are always like that. The other courses beside Ocean, but dude, I was blown away at how nice, you know, the one we played was. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, man, I've heard really good things about Osprey like that. I've heard good things about all the courses down there. I think it's because that's their business, right? Like, they have a huge, it's a huge vacation community, but they're also extra about being private and making sure everything is very nice and well-kept and all these things. So, yeah, but even still, we were driving in, I was looking at my dad, and I was like, this course right here, I would play today and be jacked up about it. Like, this thing looks like it's pure. I mean, great shape. How were the greens? Were they tough?
They weren't too bad. I mean, they were a little slow on that. What is the grass they have down there?
Yeah. All I've got in my head now is Poana after the US Open.
Greens so fast. So, I mean, they must have been rolling like a 9, maybe close to a 10, but I mean, they were smooth, which was okay. The greens, I mean, for me, like down here, like I play on bent grass, which we're about to lose that. It's just too hot for bent grass down here. So we're about to get to Bermuda, and I'm probably about to get not good at golf because I can't. Greens. So I'm going to have to figure something out. But no, it was, I mean, they were not too bad. I mean, there was a few greens where they were real slopey, but it wasn't too bad. It was a real fun course. Like, there's a lot of good, there's a good mix of short holes. There's a good mix of like challenging long holes. It was good. I loved it. I'd definitely All right. do it again for
so,
sure.
Last couple things I want to talk to you about. One of them is, I know we chatted about this briefly at the Chimneys, but you going down to play the Plunder at Pauly's at the end of July, correct?
Shout out to Salty. Yep.
Shout out to Salty. Looks like an awesome event. Who are you going to play with? You taking Dylan down with you, or who are you taking?
Dylan is going, but he's going to be on the team. Got a house. I twisted his arm. And it's funny because the guy I'm playing with, Connor, he's going to play with me, but he won one of the Barstool Classic qualifiers.
Oh, shut up.
With the guy Dylan's played with.
Oh, that's funny.
And we're all staying in a house together, so it's going to be a real good time. I can't wait.
Oh, that's sick. So did they go play Pinehurst last year?
Well, they just won it this, like, a few
months. This year?
They're going in November.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, hopefully they can make some noise up there, because they made some people mad up in Atlanta when they won that one. They ran away with it, I think, by, like, one or two shots.
That's cool, man. That's really cool.
Yeah,
well, so, dude, that'll be fun. And Salty looks like he's putting a ton of work into it. I mean, it looks like it's going to be awesome. So my sister's going down. Her and my mom are going to play.
Okay.
And I keep going back and forth with Salty. I really want to play. But, dude, all my buddies, like, I got a lot of buddies from college and stuff that live in the mid-Atlantic. So it's a big trip, you know. So I'm still trying to figure it out because I'd love to do it. It looks awesome. Course looks cool.
Yeah,
it does. I just think it's going to be a lot of fun. And plus, there's nowhere better to be than a golf course for a couple of days. I mean, that's winning. So what did he say? It's going to be flighted. So it's going to be flighted based on handicap. Is that how they're doing it?
I think it's going to be – I don't think it's handicap. I think it's because it's two-man scramble, or in your sister's case, two-woman scramble.
Yep.
But it's going to be flighted after the first day. So everyone's
going
to play, and then based on, like, I mean, I guess the top half of the scores will be in the first flight, and then the bottom half will be in the second. So it's
cool. I like that.
For the value, I mean, he's going in with it. Like, he's got all, like, I think I read something where if you make, like, an eagle, which is pretty doable on a par five and a scramble, you get, like, rum from one of the companies he's got sponsoring it.
Yeah.
Closer to the pins, which I'm donating a few for that. Longest drive. And he's got a lot going on. He's going all out. I love it.
Wow, dude, he just seems like the coolest. Did I tell you the story about how first off, belated happy birthday.
Thank you.
Sorry for missing that. I can't believe – I meant to text you on the day because you – June 20th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so Zach shares a birthday with my sister, so I'll never forget Zach's birthday. but so I just feel like he's just got a great, like, disposition. Like, I feel like that's obvious from how welcome he is with – I mean, dude, perfect strangers. Like, he invited my sister to come play. Well, not invite. You know how he does. He'd be like, hey, who wants to come out and play?
Right.
And she just messaged him and said, I'm going to be in Myrtle Beach. I'd love to play. And come on. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know. Just a good dude. So
– yeah, he is.
I think it's going to be an awesome event. And it seems like he's getting good buy-in, too, because what, he's over 40 teams now?
I think he got it to 50. He got the full 50 teams.
Oh, that's sick, man. Yeah, that's so awesome. Yeah, my mom and sister are fired up about it. Like, my mom is jacked.
we're going to Hilton Head for a week, like, just as a vacation, me and my wife, 2 weeks before. And
yeah.
I'm forgetting about that trip because I'm looking so forward to the tournament at the end of the month.
Like, yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's cool, man. Well, so last thing I want to talk to you about, tell us about kind of what's on the Augusta Golf Collective trajectory here in the next 6 to 12 months? Like, what's on your board? What are some things you're excited about? What are some things that folks who follow you and want to support you can be excited about?
So on the merch side, this was a big month for us. We brought in the Needlepoint belts, Smathers and Branson. So this was a huge, like, reload month. All this new stuff is in here, like, fully stocked. We got polos just landed today. So we'll kind of see how we go from here, from this month, based on merch. I got another tee, which if you're a football fan or an SEC fan, you're going to love it coming next month. I got it. I'm real excited about that one. I haven't started on it yet, but I'm looking at like an early August drop on that. And then past that, I mean, it really, like, it's probably not the best thing, but I really don't plan this stuff like too far out.
Like, that's good.
It comes to me and I'm like, yeah, which now is not good because of the turnaround times on stuff is so – like far
long out. Yeah.
But I mean, definitely just keep restocking what we've got. A couple new shirts, I'll bring in some new headwear, and then golf. I'm just, which today I just ordered some new irons. I found a great deal on some Strixons, believe it or not. I'm joining teams.
All right, I'm here for that.
Yeah, but we're just gonna keep chugging along and see what other golf courses we can luck ourselves into playing and keep going from there, which we're really excited about. I'm really going to crank up the content for the playoffs in the collective club. So, I mean, obviously I'm in the field. It looks like I'll be in the top 18, which is going to be in the bracket, the playoff for match play. I mean, I don't want to win the thing, but I'm going to have to do it on them. Maybe. We'll see.
I mean, I think the commission needs to come out and lay the hammer down for the inaugural year.
And the game is peaking right now. I just hope I don't have a colossal, spike or crash. But it's going to be real cool for the championship match. I was going to try and do it out here at Champions, but they're redoing the greens. So we're going to try and get somewhere, and we're going to have literally whoever wants to come. We're going to have, like, a beer cart, just this guy versus this guy. We're going to get the two, like, last-place guys in the league to caddy for them. It's going to be
fun. I love that.
We're going to make a whole event out of the championship match. It's going to be fun.
I love it, man.
That'll carry us right into football season, which golf might take a back seat at that point.
So – let me ask you this, too. Are you planning to make the trip up to Charlotte for the opener? What's your plans on that?
Right now, no. But ask me week before, and it'll probably be a yes.
I think you might want to switch those plans and come up and play golf with us on Friday. And then we're either going to get an RV or we're going to get one of those tailgate trailers for Saturday.
Yeah.
And, brother, we're posting up like 7 a.m. We're going to let it rip all day.
We had dinner and played some golf yesterday with some huge Georgia guys, and they asked the same thing. Like, dude, come on. Like, we got all these doing all this stuff. All you got to do is get a ticket, which hard. All you got to do right now with the – I mean, I just don't feel comfortable paying. I think the last time I checked, they're like $300 or $400 for way leads. But
so we got lucky. Last week we got in on the actual, like, Duke's Mayo Classic Ticketmaster release. Mm-hmm. So we actually bought our tickets at face, like from face plus whatever Ticketmaster charges for service fees, but not paying the resale rate on StubHub or whatever. But dude, it's outrageous right now. And I think part of it is because people are just so fired up to have like a normal football weekend. I just think it's going to be insane. I think the atmosphere is going to be nuts.
It's going to be a lot.
But, dude, Friday, I think we're going to go try and play. My brother lives in Charlotte, so he took me to play this place by the Raceway out there, which is Charlotte's home golf course.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a cool little track. Like, for a few of the holes, the Raceway is, like, in the background. And I don't know. It's a cool little spot to play. We've played it a couple times, and I think we're going to try and play it again that weekend just because it's a cool little track and challenging, and there's a cool par 5 on the front that has this gigantic boulder that sits like in the middle of the fairway. So it's kind of like, I don't know, messes with your brain because you're like, wait a minute, I could hit a perfect shot and like wail it off this boulder, which my brother actually did. He hit it directly off the boulder. Oh, he was so fired up.
I've never been to Charlotte. Never been. I don't know anything about the city, the golf course.
Come on.
I mean, I know Quail Hollow and the Carolina Panthers and the Hornets. That's it. That is it.
Yeah, so my brother played college baseball at Charlotte. So that's his town, man. Okay. Yeah, he spent a ton. At this point, he's probably spent half his life there because he's been working there for a while. He actually coached the baseball team. He was assistant coach on the baseball team for a number of years after he got done playing professionally. And then he started working for this company based out of Nashville, and they ended up just saying, hey, do you want to go back to Charlotte and kind of roll there? And so he's been there ever since. So that's his town for sure. So anybody could show it. He's the one, brother.
Yeah. Well, if we can find some tickets, I mean, the easy part about it is I don't have to ask my wife if I can go. I just have to – she just has to come with me, which is great.
Yeah, that's a win.
Yeah, if we can find some tickets, we'll definitely – I mean, because that's like the only game I want to go to.
Yeah.
Aside from the national championship that we'll, of course, be in. But
that's right. Yeah, that's right. I'm picking that up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep nagging you about it because I want you to go. And also, when you're ready to have the collective club open up here in the Lowcountry, I'm just volunteering as tribute to be the satellite commish.
There we go. I love it.
All right, brother. Well, thanks for hanging out with us, Zach. And we will you keep us posted on what's going on with the new gear, and we'll rock it, brother.
Will do. Appreciate you a lot. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. Go Dogs.
All right, go Dogs.
Hey, George is better now. Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.